It says green. Does that say go? Psalm 119, verse 89 through 97. Pray for me this morning. Allergies are acting up, and I'm just a little bit hoarse. Not going to be a little bit hoarse. There's a whole lot of the mule right here. Psalm 119, 89 through 97. Before they read that, we read it together. Let me say, you hear a lot about what is wrong in America. I'm telling you, folks, I don't know about you, but America is right on the brink of bankruptcy and all this madness that's going on and politics and defund the police and take everybody's guns away and give everybody. To me, that's called something that I don't like to say, but it's nothing but outright communism. One has put us under the yoke. Now they're working on nationalizing our police departments. When that happens, that, where are we? But anyway, broken homes, broken families, ruined lives, killing the unborn, changing the philosophy of our children, teaching them things that is contrary to the Word of God. So, what brought that about? What brought it all about? I have two things. I'm not going to preach on both of them, but I will preach on the one this morning. One is a lack of family and home centered around Christ and the church. And the second thing is liberalizing, changing around the Word of God. You can go to a Bible bookstore and you can buy 25 different versions of Bibles. Which one do you go by? They can't all be right. You say, don't they all say the same thing? No. Most of them deny the virgin birth, sinless life, vicarious death. They deny the miracles. They deny the inspiration, the infallibility of the Word of God. Just only known. What is wrong in America, and it can be wrong in your life, is simply an application of the Word of God. Baptists have the truth. They know the truth. But there's a difference. You ever hear the story of the man that went to the doctor? He said, you have an incurable disease. But it's can be controlled and you can live. He said, I'm going to give you a prescription for this medicine each month. And you take that and you're going to live. For a normal life. For years. No. He goes to the drugstore, gets the medicine, takes it home, puts it on the shelf. His neighbor says, hey, I hear you're bad sick. He said, don't worry. He said, I've got the medicine that will help me. It's sitting on the shelf at home anytime I want to take it. So he goes on a little bit later, and the same fellow sees his wife out on the street or in the grocery store. How's your husband? Said he's down sick, bad. Well, I thought he had the medicine shelf. Yeah. It's sitting on the shelf anytime he wants to take it. Not long after that, saw one of the kids says, how's your dad doing? He said, oh, they had his funeral back 3 weeks ago. So what happened? I thought that he had medicine to get him well, take care of him. He said, oh, yeah. He set it on the shelf, said he could take it anytime he wants to, but it's still sitting there. What good is this Bible if you leave it sitting somewhere like that gathering dust? What good is it to you, to your family, to your church, to your community? Folks, we need to get serious about applying the Word of God. I ain't much on telling stories of people of early denominations, but D.L. Moody was a witness for the Lord. You know who he was back in times past in history. This man owned a soap factory, big soap factory in Chicago. Every evening, Moody would take a walk down the South Street there where the church was. And this man would be walking, and he'd stop and talk to him about the Lord being saved. And so anyway, he went into him one evening, stopped, says, "Hey, have you gotten saved since I talked to you last?" He said, "No, you got something else about being saved. That's not bad." And they're walking along, and Moody was musing in his mind about this guy that didn't believe the Word of God, didn't believe in being saved, and he looked in the street, and there's this little boy playing in the mud. You ever see that? I bet he used to do that, didn't you? Covered in mud from head to toe. Moody looked at him and says, my, bad soap. He said, "Man, that soap, you look at that poor little fellow. So that soap you got ain't worth a dime. Can't trust that soap. Look at him. He is a filthy mess. What's going on here? Why are you selling that soap?" He said, "Oh, man, you're not being fair with me." He said, "That soap has never been applied." He said, "What about the gospel? Has it ever been applied to your heart and soul? Have you experienced that? Have you tried that and it didn't work?" That's the way we are with the Word of God. Let's read our scripture reading. 89 through 97. "Forever, Lord God." You know, God has only got one word. Remember June, when I thought to write to you of the common salvation? "It was needful that I write unto you and exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Thy faithfulness is unto all." How is God faithful to us? Through His Word. "Thou hast established the earth and in the Bible. Forever, thy word is set in heaven. The earth you established it and it abideth." Same way with the Word. "They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all unless thou I will never forget thy precepts." I think of this, and I'll use me for an application. You ever think of this? We're getting in the time when they're going to start arresting us for believing the Word of God and preaching it. They'll tell us what to preach and how to preach and how long to preach and who wouldn't have his members. What if they came and arrested me today? Took me down to court in the morning and said, "Are you guilty of being saved and believing the Word of God?" Well, sure I am. Sure I do. I'll tell you what, we're going to set you free. But you're going to quote, we're going to get a Bible, you're going to give us 10 Bible references, and you're going to quote them verbatim from the Bible. Can we do that? We used to have that all the time when I was younger in the ministry. Everybody was learning the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God. Could I do that? You ever read the first chapter of 1 John? Someone knows what I'm going to tell you. You know John Nybrook, the preacher? The little boy, he's a big boy now. When I pastored at Salem, he'd come to me on Sunday morning and say, "Pastor, can I quote some scriptures tonight in the service?" I'd say, "Great. You sure can, Aaron. Get ready." You know what I remember him quoting verbatim one evening in evening service? He's only about, what, 8, 9 years old. He stood up there like this, you know how little boys are. He quoted verbatim the whole chapter of 1 John. I asked his dad the other day, I said, "Is Ernest still in the Bible?" He said he studies it 2 or 3 hours a day, every day. He's not married. He don't have a wife to distract him and say, "Honey, it's time to go." Anyway, You think about this. You think about what I'm saying. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am now saved if I accept thy precepts. Now listen to this. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I've seen all the perfection that thy commandments is exceeding broad. Verse 97, and we'll finish our reading. Oh, what is our response to the Word of God? The knowledge that the Scriptures are inspired. Through His Word, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is needing. So, doesn't that involve us in an obligation? We think of it as an obligation, and it is. But what a blessed thing it is to be submissive to the Lord concerning His Word to us. It will save our souls. It will knit us and bond us together in love and in marriages. It will preserve our family. It will enhance our church. It will meet our needs. It will do away with psychiatrists. It will do away with a lot of doctors, because a lot of people worry and fret themselves sick and yet go to the doctor. His strength when I'm weak. He straightened me out when I'm out of sorts. How do we conceive the authority of the Bible really determines on our attitude and the measure of our responsibility. Since the Bible is a divine revelation, what problem do we think about? If we would examine our hearts the way the Bible tells us, in 1 Corinthians, I would say that, Lord, I need to ask you to forgive me, Lord, for your word. That which is so good and so wonderful to me, which meets all the with the Lord, with you. Let's say one of the famous preachers, First Baptist Church of Dallas, he's well known. What if you went home this afternoon, you get a text on your phone. Turn on your TV and you get a message from that fellow. I like him, he's a great preacher. He's a reliable source, ain't he? What if he said, we will be coming up on with that. I'm going to give you the future that how'd we react to that? Did you see what would happen across Huntington and all across the United States of America if that happened? But let me quote a reliable source. It's going to take a while. Listen to that. 1948, they hadn't been a nation for nearly 2,000 years. What happened? They're one of the strongest nations on earth now. They have one of the greatest armies that the nation knows. They have everything that God promised them as a nation, except one thing, and that's common. But you know what we learned from Israel? You look back and you go back to God. That would bring forth a nation, that would bring forth a child, and that child in the flesh to save sinful men. In the providence of God, we look at it steadily, and God in mankind today. We know that. But you know what we learned from Israel in the Old Testament? We learn that we just can't learn from Israel. How many of us ever think about the providence of God? How many of us ever pray for the providence of God through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to move in hearts and souls to change? That's where everything has changed. It's not changed outwardly. Don't get me wrong, I think we should stand up for what's right. I think we should stand for our Constitution. But I think we should stand for the Word of God. We should teach it to our children and our children's children that we can be God blessed. We don't need to look to the world. Search our hearts. See how we accept all. We need to confess to God our sin of neglecting it. We need to spend time in the Word of God. That's hard to do. We don't have time. You know what I find in my life? I take the time for what I deem to be important. And the rest is wrong. I'll tell you how serious I know that is. You ask my wife. When I got married, I had hunting dogs. I had fishing tackle. I had guns. I had a fever that couldn't be cured by any doctor. It was called fishing fever and hunting fever. That's a bad combination. But look at her, man. She's beautiful. Wonderful. I'm not the old man. If I'm lying, I die. What did I do with my guns and dogs? I gave them all away. That wasn't a distraction for me. I loved my wife. Had a job. I couldn't leave every Friday evening after work, come back late Sunday evening, and get ready for work. That's what I did. I kept guns or fishing poles in my car all the time. People fuss at me. Why'd you do that? I married a wife. I want to spend time with my wife. You know, it's more important to me, too, with my Lord. We need time in the Word of God. The 66 books. You know what I consider this? This is God's love letter to me. Don't we consider we are the bride? And we need to make ourselves ready to meet Him and His coming. See, the Word of God is our divine decree. It's God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. You know, we want to count profits and losses and people buy stocks and bonds and all that, annuities. But we have something of an ordinary Word. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for doctrine, teaching us through the Holy Spirit, that we may be perfect. That word perfect means grown up and mature. That we can be a servant of God. So we need to study it. Search it out. Meditate upon it. The Bible says, search the scriptures. Search them out. You think you have eternal life. And they are me. See, there's this personal relationship between me and God. It's a loving relationship based upon His love and grace and kindness. He said, "Seven to thyself approved unto God." In Psalm 119:97, the psalmist says, all the day. Look with me back, if you're in Psalm, look at Psalm 19. When I was first saved, my pastor encouraged me in Bible reading, Bible study. He said, read the Psalms every day. For the relationship and the worship of God. Read the Proverbs every day for wisdom and knowledge. So you put those together and you'll have a good time in your life. Psalm 19, look at verse 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The justice of now. You study the book of Psalms, 119. And you see statutes, judgments, and all that. Do you know what statutes are? If you look at the Bible dictionary. Statutes are those words that's given to us, special words from God, to regulate our lives. We used to have these old dingy clocks, I call them, you know. Gong. Well, this guy comes to our community every so often. And my mom and my grandma would say, the clock, they're keeping good time. Oh, I'll adjust it for you. It'll be all right. So he'd adjust that thing and set it and struck right on the hour, every hour, on the half hour, every half hour. And so anyway, that's what precepts do. They keep us on time all the time with God. We need God's precepts. Verse 10, never be desired. Remember the parable, the man who's a big farmer. He had a good crop that God gave him. He tore down his barn, built bigger barns, bigger barns. You know, the word of God, the precepts of God, the judgments of God are more to be desired than that. Yea, sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. More reward. I might have preached a message there. I preached it quite a bit. I love that message. The true riches. The true riches. Satan, the great God, worked on it. It's worth so much. Psalm 119:103, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in mine heart that I might not sin against God. See, to neglect God's word is a great transgression. We need forgiveness. On our part, that means repentance. I'm not saying you're neglecting God's word. I'm preaching to us this morning the significance, the importance of nurturing our relationship with our blessed Lord and Savior. See, Scripture is God's word and is a final court of appeal. I had a young preacher come out of my ministry. And he had a problem with something he didn't want to believe. And I caught on to what he was doing. I wasn't pastoring him. He started out when he was first called to preach in my ministry. And so anyway, he started pastoring. He'd call me and he'd say, "What do you think about this?" I said, "Brother, I don't think about that." "You don't think about that?" "No. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get my Bible and tell you what the Bible says." And I'd read him from the Bible. He'd say, "Well, I'll tell you what, old brother so-and-so asked him, he don't agree with you." I said, "Is that right?" "No, I asked brother so-and-so again, he don't agree with you." I said, "That's right. He don't agree with me." He said, "No." So he called me one day and said, "Brother, I'm having a problem with this doctrine." I said, "You are. Who are you? Tell me your mind, you don't believe man or God? If you don't believe man, don't bother me no more." The Word of God is final. You don't question it. You don't go by what some other religious fanatic thinks about it. You don't go by what I think about it. You know, but God said it's final. It's not a matter of what I think. What some church group says. What my mom used to say, "I told you." Well, God and grace, he'll tell us two or three times if you look in the Word of God. You know what it says? That power belongeth to God. In verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." If it's settled in heaven, may it be settled in our heart, in our family, our home, in our church. Live in it, live by it, cherish it. Remember, Samuel's mother was praying for him. She wanted a son, Eli. Said, "Go on home now, don't fuss about this. You're going to have a son about this time of life." She has a son. She dedicated to the Lord. Remember that? She brought him down to the temple and gave him over to Samuel. That's what parents should do with their kids. We have no business trying to help our kids decide what to do in life. God's in charge of that. You teach them the Word of God. You know the greatest thing that either one of my sons has ever done? He's pastoring the church now. Well, he's a dialysis nurse. He's got a business degree. But do you know what I think? I think the fact that he's surrendered to the call to preach and that he's preaching the Word of God and pastoring the church is worth more to me than everything he could have. I've got another son who went the opposite direction. He used to work, serve the Lord, write songs, play the piano, sing. Work with youth, work with us in youth camps. Now, I don't even know if he goes to church regularly or not. He says he does. What happened? Neglecting the Word of God. So she dedicated him to the Lord. I don't know how old he was, but one night he walked Eli up and he says, "Did you call me?" He said, "No, I never called you." He goes, said, "Go back to sleep." He goes back to sleep the second time. And the voice came to him. And Eli, "You called me. Why'd you call me?" "I never called you." He didn't ask the third time. What did Eli tell him? The Lord. When Samuel got woke up the next time, you know what he said? "Speak, Lord, for I hear you. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth." As for we as saints, we are to bow to His authority. Submit to Him, His word, love. How sad. We're all tempted. That's what the Bible says. Is it any time to yield to temptation? Remember what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4 after His baptism. He goes out in the wilderness, was out there 40 days, 40 nights fasting, hungering. Satan came to Him. There's a good opportunity in Him. Three different times the Lord rebukes him with the Word of God. Think about that. We overcome temptation, trials, tribulations through the Word and the promises of God. We live a life of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith in what? Faith in the Word of God, Spirit of God, Divine Providence, Christ our High Priest, and God Himself. You know, in Luke the 16th chapter, there were two persons there. Remember that? The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man got up his eyes being in torments. The beggar died and he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. One man went in the restaurant one morning and sat down to eat breakfast, and this guy came over and sat down by us and said he didn't believe in hell. So that was all. But is that right? That's right. I said, what about Luke, the 16th chapter, the rich man and Lazarus? He said, can I ask you something? I said, yeah. She said, there's two men, right? Yeah, there's two people. And they went to different places. One was tormented, and one was in peace and joy and all the goodness and grace of God. Tell me about those two places. You know what he said? I don't believe that. That wasn't what he said. I don't believe that. Can I ask you a question? If I preached something to you this morning that stirred your heart, did you get mad and say, I don't believe him? I might say something in the flesh that might disrupt the service, but what about what I'm preaching to you from the Word of God? One preacher got up and preached in the Bible conference I was in. He said, God, another preacher gets up and he said, brother, I'm not going to correct you, but I got one better than that. He said, God, folks, we need to come to that. But the rich man had five brothers. I'm working on a message. One in hell and five on the way. He said, go! About this place. You know what the Lord said to him? And this is should stir our hearts. We have the opportunity to witness, to family and friends. And we take this to mean, you know, they got to hear. But how are they going to hear without a preacher? How should they preach except they be sent? That word preacher in that text is not what some people say. It's not an ordained minister. That word means to tell forth the gospel. If they what he's saying, there's the Word of God there for their ass. You have good. failed. We preach the Word of God. That's what the Scripture says. In Romans, it asks the question, what saith the Scriptures? Like the young preacher calling me. What do you think? I'll tell you what the Bible says. You accept that. The Bible is the Word of God. It's an open book. We said it. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Look and see. Believe and be blessed. Search the Scriptures. Get in the Word of God. I went to church one Sunday morning. 48 years ago. I went before that church and said the Lord had called me to preach. And my wife came and said to the pastor, the Lord has called him to preach. He's dedicating his life to ministry for God. I'm dedicating my life to God to be a good helpmate to him and encourage him in his ministry. We went home and we opened our Bible to one chapter. We've gone to those two verses that are died. All down to our ministry. I can do all things which strengthens me. Folks, I tell you, the route that we've taken is not one that we would have chosen. The things that we've gone through, society would never choose. But you know what? There's another scripture that goes along with that one, that's Philippians 4:13. 4:19 says, my God will supply my heart. What would that end? Some people try to claim that verse when they shouldn't. If I can do all things through Christ with His strength, He's going to supply. And the book would be thick and long and probably boring to you if I wrote it. I'm driving a car that I never bought. I'm living in a house that I never even saw a deed written for. I've seen God gives us over and over and over abundantly above that we could ever even ask or think. But we always went back to those scriptures. I don't know about you, but we've been in poor places. No finances. How many is the time that we get up and claim those verses and sit our boys down at the table and thank God for the food that we didn't have that He was going to give us that day? You want me to tell you the truth of the matter? We never went to bed hungry. Never went to bed hungry. We never ate steak and baked potatoes all the time. And we always had food to eat. God always supplied. God talking about the gospel. I'm talking about my youngest son is 38 years old. If one of my boys is home on Sunday, guess what? They never ask us if we expect them to go to church. They go. Because that's always been required. Never if you want to. From a father to father. We can look. Let me tell you something. Not one of necessary time to discover them. The Bible is the sure foundation of our faith. Our need is for absolute thought. Religion, philosophy, reason. You know what Job says from his relationship with God? John 14:6. I am the way. Let's walk in that way. Let's discover, live, and walk in that truth. And that He has offered us in salvation. I'm going to read this scripture, then we'll be finished. Look in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Twice have I heard this. That power belongs to God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as it is. Now listen. Here is where the Word of God comes in, sanctified through the Word. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as he is pure. How do I know? The Bible tells me. The Bible says it. The Bible's true. It works. Try it. It's better than the greatest doctor. Stronger than the greatest medicine. Because God gives life. God takes care of our lives. Through His Word, through the Spirit, through divine providence. And you know what? Even as I preach this message, right here in the lives of these that I'm preaching to, that's coming to pass. The Spirit of God is moving in your heart this morning. The Word of God is coming forth. Providence of God is going to move in some way to bring that to pass in our lives. Let's accept that. Let's rejoice in it. Let's live it. Father, we thank You for the day and going to be able to visit with this fine church and its people. I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit will have used me to be a blessing to their hearts and souls. And lift them up and give them strength and send them forth. And Lord, we know that they seek a pastor. And we know You place this church here in divine providence if they'll pray. If they'll wait upon You and seek Your will, You'll give them the pastor they need. And love them to lead them and guide them to preach them the truth. But we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.